Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. It's Monday, July 29th, and time is flying. And I have to say, if you're a Republican on July 29th, 2024, you have to be looking in the mirror, scratching your head, and saying, how did we get here? How did this happen? Because the Republican Party was so sure that they had this whole thing locked down and totally under control. This was supposed to be an easy win over poor Joe Biden, who, no matter how smart he might be, clearly didn't have the facility to speak up and tell the story because he was just too old. And of course, I had talked about my fear, looking back to 1933, because for anybody that is a historian, you would know that in Germany, a man named Paul von Hindenburg, who was 84 years old, attempted to run against Adolf Hitler. And of course, here we are in 2024, and Joe Biden, who's 82 years old, was attempting to run against Adolf Hitler. I'm sorry, I mean Donald Trump. It's the same thing, no difference. You know, the unified Reich? Let's not forget that. But in any case, here we are, and Paul von Hindenburg is no longer our candidate against the neo-Nazis. Thankfully, because first, I wouldn't want to hurt Joe Biden. He's just too good a person. And this would have hurt him because he couldn't handle this. Secondly, I didn't want to hurt the country because we don't need to become the next Nazi country in the world. We don't need to be that. And I can tell you now, I was always sure we wouldn't be, but now I'm positively sure that we won't be. And we'll talk about some indicators of that problem in a little bit for sure. But I think the first thing I'm going to do is talk about why the Republican Party is looking in that mirror and trying to figure out how they got here. Because what they've got is a nutcase running for vice president who is talking about cat women, cat ladies. Now, the thing about it is, and I mentioned this last week, that it was something that he said in 2021. So, you know, you want to be a little careful in how you handle it because he didn't say it today. But thank you, J.D. Vance. Good man. Because over the weekend, he updated this for us. So he has now bought it in 2024, and he owns it. And he said that his only misgivings was that he might have been saying some things that would have offended cats. They think it's funny, but they're going to pay a price. Because anybody that doesn't know that women in 2024 are going to come out in huge numbers, if you don't know it, you're in for quite a surprise, because women are coming out to vote and they are going to vote against the cat lady man. Now you watch. I always knew they were going to vote against people who were negative on birth control. Listen to that. I mean, I'm not telling you that we should have birth control, and I'm not telling you we shouldn't have birth control. I'm taking a neutral stance. I'm not saying a word. But here's what I am saying. The country is 90 to 10 in favor of birth control. And if you want those 90% voting against you, well, you just keep talking it. Because it is one of the most unpopular positions in the United States. Now, I will say that the position that should be considered as even more unpopular is the one where we don't provide women in trouble with medical care. And, of course, leave it to Donald Trump to be out here advocating for withdrawing medical care from women. Now, I know somebody's going to say, Kasin, you've lost your mind. That's not what they're doing. But it is what they're doing. And all you got to do is go look at page 562 in Project 25, and you can say, well, Project 25, 2024, that's not Donald Trump. Well, of course it's Donald Trump, but I've played the clip on the air at least five times now. I'm not going to do it today, but it is Donald Trump. It's his idea. And on top of that, get ready for this one. This is good. Again, J.D. Vance, he is writing the foreword for the Project 2025 book published by, or to be published by, Kevin Roberts, who is the Heritage Foundation. Why would they have Vance write this forward to something that Donald says he's never heard of in his life? Well, we know he's lying. And I've played that clip where he lies over and over again. Never heard of it. Don't know them. Can't think of it. Doesn't make any sense. It's not me. It's somebody else. I didn't do it. I mean, that's what he says over and over. But the truth is, he does know. And again, the American people know. And I assure you that when J.D. Vance gets destroyed in this campaign by all this cat lady talk, well, I think you'll understand the kind of problems that the Republican Party faces. And, you know, think back to Michael Dukakis. Michael Dukakis, who was a very good person, he got himself up in a tank and put a helmet on, and he looked insane. I could put the clip up, but it's not necessary. And after he rode in that tank with the helmet on, he was never the same. His numbers cratered. It wasn't fair. I mean, all he did is get up in a tank, threw a helmet on. He didn't mean anything, and I don't think anybody really took too much out of it except to say that he looked crazy. Well, guess what? This man talking about the cat ladies, he's looking crazy. And when people say, I don't know what to tell you about it except for that it's weird. See, that's the problem. It's weird. Weird does not win elections. Believe me. And vice presidents really don't usually make that much difference unless they cause huge problems. And in this case, this guy's causing a huge problem just by being weird. Because don't forget, if anything happens to Trump, who's old, 78 years old, if anything happened to Trump, J.D. Vance would become president. So it becomes an issue suddenly again. Don't forget, the oldest man to ever run for the presidency in the history of the United States, it's Donald Trump. How did that happen? How did that happen? And beautifully, Joe Biden did absolutely the right thing. He didn't want to, but he had to. And the reason he had to was not because people forced him to, because, yeah, there were a lot of people saying get out, but not that many. He could have stayed, and he could have gotten the nomination and gone forward, and everybody said if he had the nomination, they would support him. But here's the thing. He decided that democracy and the United States of America was more important than being president again. And he probably knew, too, that he was struggling and that it wouldn't be good for him. And so he walks away as a hero, and in steps Kamala Harris, who people want to say bad things about on the right, but they don't even know what to say because she sounds great. And if you think she doesn't sound great, here's the problem that you've got. She is inspiring millions and millions of people. So if you want to say, well, all those millions of people are, I don't know, how about call them deplorables? Hillary wasn't a smart move, but guess what? Let's call those millions of people deplorables. And here's the thing. If you're J.D. Vance and you're talking about cat ladies, you're calling millions of Americans deplorables. That's what you're doing. And the man said, I really feel bad because I'm demeaning cats. See, he couldn't even say, you know, I don't mean it. It's not like that. Everybody should be valued. He couldn't do it. And so now all that weirdness gets put on the Republican side. And it essentially calls millions of people deplorables on the left. And then the funny thing is that in essence, he's also calling millions of people on the right deplorables. There are lots of people who don't have kids. There are lots of people who don't have kids that would like to have kids, but can't. And so what are you going to do? Go through and investigate everybody to find out who did what and why? No, not at all. All you're going to do is you're going to say, the man is weird. And if you buy into his weirdness, then maybe you're a deplorable. See, I could say it. I'm not running. But if you're running, you don't need to be calling people deplorables. You just don't. It's not nice, and it doesn't win votes. Ask Hillary, who actually won by 3 million votes anyway, but she needed a few more. And she didn't get them, probably because of the deplorable line, probably because of some other things that were thrown at her. Nevertheless, this was much different in 2016 than what Donald Trump has to deal with in 2024, because Kamala Harris is actually inspiring millions of Americans. They love her. And you could say, why? You could say that. You could ask that question. The problem is you're wasting your time. And the reason you're wasting your time, and I'm going to show you right now, I'm going to give you a little sort of an entertainment example of why. Can you play that clip for me, please?
99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer, take one down, pass it around, 99 bottles of beer on the wall.
Okay, you can turn that off now. Okay, so that's, we'll play one of those clips every day to remind you, because that's how many days we got left. 99. And every day that a bottle of beer comes off the wall, the weirdness gets worse, a lot worse. Very dangerous for Republicans who want to get elected to anything, but sort of exciting for Democrats who really have kind of a limited period of time here in which to run. And during this limited period of time, look what's happening. People are inspired. They are inspired. I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, if people are inspired, they are. Now, you could say, well, they shouldn't be. But that's not good enough because they are. You can say, Kamala is stupid. In fact, he doesn't even say that. Now, this is Donald. He doesn't even say Kamala is stupid. He says, Kamala is stupid. And then he says, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right or wrong, which he does. He says, but it doesn't really matter because there are so many ways that people pronounce that name that I can do whatever I want anyway. And I just don't care. And she's stupid because the lady's a bum. Now, you know, that's what he was saying all weekend. He said, the lady's a bum. And he doesn't have to care about calling her any kind of a name. And she's stupid. You know, the thing about calling people names is that you want to make sure that there's something there that might resonate with a listener. And somebody would say, well, I could see that, yes, because she did this or that or something else. But no, there's no evidence at all that she's either a bum or stupid. He's just throwing words out. He might as well be in a junior high school class or on a junior high school playground. I mean, it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you use that language? There's no evidence of it in any way. He talks about how she failed some law exam. And you know what? Maybe she did, and maybe she didn't. I mean, smartly on her part, she didn't even responding because it's absolutely irrelevant. Lots of people fail their bar exam and then go on to be great lawyers. If she failed, I can tell you right now that she became the Attorney General of California. She spoke in the United States Senate as a senator, asking questions on these various panels that she was in that were just spot on and really impressed people incredibly. So you could talk about how dumb she is and she's a bum. But you know what? No one's listening. And they're thinking that there's something wrong with you. And that's Donald. And there is something wrong with him. And that's why Mary Trump, his niece, who is a psychologist, has said repeatedly that the man is a psychopath. Well, you know, that's exactly what I was talking about. If somebody calls you a psychopath and there seems to be some evidence that maybe you are a psychopath, then that doesn't look good. So that's what's going on out here. And the point is, you shouldn't be calling people names anyway. But certainly, they are calling him names. And he's calling other people names that make no sense. But here's the thing. J.D. Vance is weird. He's weird. Cat ladies and people. It's crazy talk. People don't have children. It's crazy. No one wants to hear that. That's not an argument for the United States of America. I will take you to this one, though, and this is on the same topic. J.D. Vance, and I heard him say this, that parents are not respected in this country. The parents should be respected because they've got the kids, and so we should respect their opinions, and we should not have cat ladies without children making decisions for America. Well, let me say this very clearly. As a researcher at the University of Missouri on educational psychology, don't get me wrong, I don't claim that that gives me gigantic knowledge beyond everybody. I mean, there's still other opinions that could be correct, but I am an expert. I'm an expert in educational psychology. Maybe I'm a dumb expert, but I'm an expert. And here's the thing. I've been in classrooms, college and high school, for 25 years. And I can tell you absolutely, bringing parents into classrooms to interfere with how people are learning is insane. It is a problem, and it is increasing in 2024. And the reason it is because people like J.D. Vance think that parents are not getting the respect that they deserve. But I'm going to tell you this. Parents get too much respect in that regard, and they should absolutely be out of our classrooms. Now, don't get me wrong. I do bring parents into my classrooms in an unusual way, which I really enjoy. When I have high school kids and we have discussions about certain things that are going on in the classroom, issues having to do with what we're actually focusing on in terms of the learning, I often turn to kids and say, what do you think your parents think about this? And they look at me like, I don't know. And I turn to them and I say, hey, let's call them. Let's get your parents in the classroom and let's see what they think. This isn't an attack on kids or anything like that. I'm not calling to tell on somebody. I'm just calling because let's hear some parents in the classroom. And parents love it. It's fun. And the kids love it, even though they're maybe a little embarrassed at first, but they love it because it's their parents, and that then their parents are participating. I'm sure they go home and talk to their parents about what was discussed, and it's just interesting. Just something I do that is rarely done. It's almost never done. But it's kind of interesting and fun for kids. And believe me, we need to make classrooms more interesting for kids so that they learn and so that then they want to go on to college instead of boring the heck out of them and sending them on to some kind of technical school where they can be a plumber. And, you know, luckily I'm not running for anything. So, you know, if the plumbers want to throw a fit, let them throw a fit. But I'm just going to tell you this. I never wanted my kids to be plumbers. I wanted my kids to have advanced college degrees in whatever they were interested in, and I wanted them to use those degrees in life. And both of my kids have done that. They've got advanced degrees. Now, they didn't just graduate from college. They've got advanced degrees. Now, somebody else is going to say, well, who cares? You know, just because you can read a book doesn't mean you know anything. Well, maybe. But for me, I'd rather have my kids have the advanced degrees and get high-level jobs because I think that's really what everybody wants for their kids, is to have the best that they can possibly have. Now, there may be people who wake up in the morning and say, boy, I hope my kid's a plumber. And if that's their thing, and maybe that's like a family deal, everybody gets to be a plumber, okay, that's your choice. Most people don't feel that way. I've had people on the air, very well-known people, and I've asked them, because they talk about technical school for kids, especially in the inner city. And my thing to them is, Is that good for your kid? Oh, no. My kid's at the top school. Well, guess what? If your kid's at the top school, then why do you think somebody else wouldn't want their kid at the top school? But it's a problem that we have in this country. It's part of what we call the culture wars, because we got people who are putting up signs supporting the Ten Commandments who sort of would like their kids to be plumbers. Donald talks about that. He thinks technical school is a great idea, too. And by the way, let's talk about Donald and his brilliant plan for two things. Number one, religion. And number two, Christians. Now, frankly, I got nothing against Christians. Really, I don't. Not a thing. In fact, let me make this clear, which somebody told me that was a good friend of mine, which I should have known, but I hadn't even thought about it. And that is that all these Christians were Jews. That's where they came from. You know, Jesus was Jewish, and he had followers, and they were Jews. And then they came up with all the ideas of Christianity after Jesus was dead already. And then they were no longer Jews. They were Christians. But they had been Jews. And their ideas came from Judaism, what we call today Judeo-Christian values. So, you know, nobody's up here saying, get rid of the Christians. But here's the problem. Donald was at a conference this weekend. And it's all over TV. I could play the clip, and maybe I will another night, but I'm just not going to tonight because it's unnecessary. We all know it's true. Donald told this big crowd, he said, My beautiful Christians, I love you so much. I am a Christian, he said. I love you so much. He said, here's the thing. I need you all to vote for me this year. And after this year, all the Christians, you don't have to vote ever again. Just vote this year. Get me in, and then you'll never have to vote again. Excuse me? You'll never have to vote again? What's that about? You'll never have to vote again? Are you kidding? This is a country where we vote. First of all, we vote for a president every 4 years, and we never had somebody who said, don't vote. We've had people who said, we need lots more voters. We want to register a lot of voters. And, of course, each party wants to register people in their party. Understandable. But, excuse me, don't vote? Vote one more time and then don't vote again? Now, you can come up with all kinds of theories of what the man meant. Some people say, He means that he'll be a dictator for life, which, you know, he's 78. He ain't going to be here forever. But anyway, maybe he thinks he'll be a dictator for 20 years. I don't know. Or maybe he's just setting this up for Vladimir Putin so that the Putin government can control America for the next half a century or more. But whatever it is, he's telling people, vote once for me, and then just go away. Don't worry. You don't have to vote anymore. That's what he's saying. I mean, it leaves us to sit here and come up with the theory of the case to understand why he's saying this. But never in the history of the United States has a president said to the American people, we don't want you to vote again. Vote this time, and then you don't have to vote ever again. Now, I'll tell you, the Republican Party is fast and furious trying to knock this whole idea down to say, well, you don't understand what he meant. And hey, there's no other way. He said, don't vote. And he didn't just sort of hint at it. He said, you'll never have to vote again. That's what he said. That was his words. You'll never have to vote again. Do you know what would happen if a Democratic candidate for anything told the public that you'll never have to vote again? I can tell you right now, you'd have an outcry that would never end. And guess what? That's what you're getting, an outcry that will never end. You watch as we roll down the next couple of months, 99 days, remember, 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 days, that's what we got left. And Donald says, you'll never have to vote again. So let's see what the commercials look like when Donald's standing on a television screen telling people that they'll never have to vote again. You imagine what these commercials are going to look like, because they're already doing this. It's so brilliant. This is, you know, Kamala is out here running commercials, which actually she doesn't say anything. Nobody has anything that they write, no script, nothing. It's Donald Trump speaking. He speaks. And then at the end, it says, I'm Kamala Harris. I support this commercial, or I endorse this commercial. I mean, all they're doing is running Donald's words. And that's all they're going to have to do between now and the end. Because when they get to November, Donald is in so much trouble. So much trouble. And thinking about that trouble, after we sell a few things here, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court and the trouble that they've got, which connects directly to the trouble that Donald has. So we'll do that in a minute. But the first thing I want to do is talk to you about something that we can all agree on, and that is dinner at Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in Chesterfield Valley, and they have great food, starting with the wings, which appear to be the most famous, and then moving on to the smoked meats and the hamburgers and cheeseburgers and patty melts and pizza and salads. And then my favorite, the baby back ribs and the onion rings, all great food. You know, you take any of this and put it together in a meal, and you know the answer. The answer is Wendy's. The question is where to go for dinner, and the answer is Wendy's. 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And if you're hungry when you get done, which I don't know how you could be, but if you are, all you got to do is head out to Defiance and go to the other Wendy's, the Wendy's Roadhouse at 2999 South Highway 94 in Defiance. Same great food. And then you get to double down. It's sort of like J.D. Vance. He's doubled down on Cat Ladies. We're doubling down on Wendy's. Check them out. They are great. Okay. If you're interested in Jewels on Hampton, well, no surprise, they're on Hampton. 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. And, of course, it's owned by Al. and his son AJ is there all the time, and they are just a real source of knowledge when it comes to jewelry. First, they can buy and sell jewelry and coins with you, so that's one thing. And secondly, they can help you design jewelry. They're very creative. Or you can use your own designs, and they'll make sure that that comes out exactly the way you want it. Or you can just walk through their store and look at all these cases and cases and cases filled with jewelry. And then maybe you'll find something you want to buy or you want to design or whatever it is. It's all great for people who are interested in jewelry at Jewels on Hampton. Again, 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. Al and AJ. Excellent place if you're interested in jewelry. Now, clothing, well, that's the St. Louis Suit Company. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of suit places in town, but none have been here for 29 years, and none have done such a great job of dressing me up for decades now. They're a great place. They've helped me with my problem having to do with colors, because I am colorblind. It's not that damaging, but, you know, when it comes to matching colors, I'm not that great. But the St. Louis Suit Company has done it for me. They've put things together for me so that I know what to wear and I don't look foolish. I mean, I may be foolish, but I don't look it. So, yes, the St. Louis Suit Company is the place to go. They're on the corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton. And believe me, those ties that they have for $5, they're beautiful ties. Everyone knows they are. And everybody goes there, just, you know, keeps buying ties. You can buy them for gifts. You can buy them for yourself. I have so many ties that you just can't even imagine. I'm loaded with ties. I've given ties to students, hundreds of students, because it's just something, first of all, the kids all like it. And secondly, the price is unbelievable. So there you go. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. And remember, they've got overcoats for the fall, and the fall's coming. It's not that far away. I know it's still July, but not for long. And all this time is going to fly unbelievably fast. Pretty soon it'll be November. You'll be voting for Kamala Harris, and you will want to wear an overcoat so that you're not cold when you go to the polls. So again, St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Jay and Nick are there all the time. Jay's the dad, Nick's the son. The whole family's there. And I can tell you that if you're thinking about getting married, or you know somebody that wants to get married and they need wedding attire for men, well, all you got to do is send them to the St. Louis Suit Company, because that is the best place to go for weddings in St. Louis. Okay, so let's talk about the Supreme Court. So Donald Trump thought that he was really clever, because he worked with Mitch McConnell, and they got some people on the court that they really shouldn't have gotten on the court. And let's talk about that for a second. How did that happen? Well, in the first place, Barack Obama had a pick at the end of his presidency. It was still about a year left. And Mitch McConnell said, oh, no. No, no, we can't do this. If there's a year left in your presidency, then you no longer get a pick. Now, that was never suggested by anybody in history. That's not a rule. That's nothing. But it's something that they made up, and they enforced it, that is the Republicans. And the way they did it is they just said, we refuse to even talk to anybody that you pick for the Supreme Court. And of course, Barack Obama picked Merrick Garland, and nobody would talk to him on the Republican side. They refused. Now, I shouldn't say no one because it's possible. I don't remember exactly. It's possible that one of the women talked to him, or maybe both, from Alaska, from Maine. But look, the Republicans refused, and they shut it down, and that ended that for Merrick Garland. And then they threw one of their useful idiots on the court. It's not fair. I know it's not fair because, really, Supreme Court justices are generally pretty smart people, and they are. So, okay, but I'm just not feeling like being fair. So let's say useful idiot. And then the next thing is you get to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died. And there was 1 week before Joe Biden became the president. Now, you remember, or maybe 3 weeks, but at any rate, you remember that Mitch McConnell said you can't get a pick if it's within a year. But all of a sudden, they decided that they would rush this through in the last couple of weeks, and they refused Joe Biden this pick for the Supreme Court, and they refused Barack Obama a pick for the Supreme Court. So assuming that you are pretty good in math, and you know, I don't know, you probably don't need to go to college for this one, but if right now the court is 6-3 in favor of conservatives, and there were two court members who were added on the conservative side because more liberal presidents were not allowed to have their pick, even though under the law they should have. Well, then what happens is instead of having 5-4 in favor of liberals, you've got 6-3 in favor of conservatives. And the results, well, to a lot of people in this country, the results have been shocking, and they're going to affect the upcoming election. But that's not why I brought up the Supreme Court today, because, in fact, you've got Joe Biden, and he's probably already done it, but if he hasn't, it will be soon. But he's probably already given his speech, and he's outlining reforms for the Supreme Court. So here's the problem. I don't like them all. And it's not because Joe Biden is trying to do something wrong. It's just that a lot of people are trying to do something, and I think they don't realize what this is going to end up with. And so let's look at a couple of these reforms. One of them is they want to put term limits on Supreme Court justices. I'm against it. I think that Supreme Court justices should be there for life because it gives them the freedom to say and do whatever they want. And they are unique people in our system. They are generally not political. And, you know, we had a Supreme Court that was considered above all that, that really followed rules, which made the Supreme Court an extremely valuable institution in our country. But, of course, the Republicans messed with it, and they turned this thing into some kind of a crazy political game, and that's what should not have happened. So how do you fix it? Well, to my way of thinking, you have to put four new people on the court. You have to give Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, but I'd give it to Joe Biden. Give it to him right now. Four picks. And you know, if you can't get that done, then wait till Kamala is in the office and give her four picks. And you'll get four liberals added to the three women on the court, the three women liberals, not Amy Coney Barrett, who's really turned out not to be that bad. And a lot of people on the right are afraid that she may become a liberal. And let me tell you, that's happened on the court in the past too. But all I'm saying is this. Make it 13 on the court and 7-6 in favor of the liberals. Now, after that, go back to picking justices in a fair process that allows each president to get their pick. And of course, the Congress, the United States Senate, has the right to turn down somebody, which that's happened before. And if it does, then the president has to come up with somebody else. And the only reason they've not allowed somebody on the court is if there was some ethical problem that they felt needed to be addressed. And with that in mind, one of the things that the court might be forced to do under these reforms is to set up a program that identifies ethical problems for Supreme Court justices, because right now there are no such things. Supreme Court justices can do whatever they want, which, as we've seen, Clarence Thomas has done. And Clarence Thomas has taken gifts from far right-wing donors that amount to about $2.5 million. And every other justice on the court combined, going back 20 years, has taken $250,000. But Clarence Thomas has done $2.5 million. And the only reason he can get away with it is because there are no ethical guardrails, and there need to be some. And so that's something that ought to be injected into some kind of a court reform, plus increase the court to 13 from the current 9. We've done this before. This can be done. You don't need a constitutional amendment to do it or anything else. Just Congress can raise it to 13. And that's what they need to do. Raise it to 13. It may not happen. You know, in fact, it can't happen under this Congress, of course. But believe me, Kamala is going to be elected, and you're probably going to have a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, because Kamala's going to drag all this in. She's going to win across the board, and it's going to be amazing how many people are going to be pulled into this, because she inspires people. She inspires the country. Now, what is the extent of this inspiration? I can't tell you yet, because I'm not clairvoyant, but I know this. John Kennedy inspired people for decades. He was so inspirational. And he did some things that he shouldn't have done. He cheated on his wife and all that stuff. But the man was inspirational when it came to politics. He wrote the famous book, Profiles in Courage, which, again, might have been completely written by him, or it might have been partly written by Ted Sorensen. It doesn't matter. It came out under his name, and it has inspired young people and everybody for generations. We give out Profiles in Courage awards even in 2024, 60 years after his death, because he was an inspiration for the country. And that's what we need, is to be inspired. And guess what? You may not like it. I mean, you might be crying to find out that suddenly Kamala Harris, not Kamala, not Kamala, not something else, not whatever Donald wants to call her, but Kamala Harris is inspiring this country. You may not like it, but it's what's happening. So what I'm telling you is that when she gets in there, we need to fix the court. They need to have ethical guardrails. They need to follow rules. They need to not take gifts from special interests. And by the way, their wives had better stay out of politics, Because if they do get into politics, as at least Clarence Thomas's wife has, and possibly Alito's wife, you know, Alito blames his wife. Now, maybe she's not to blame. She probably is, but maybe not. But the point is, if your family is involved in political activity and it comes up to the court, well, that needs to be part of the ethical guardrails as well. Lower court judges are not allowed to stay on cases where they're involved in the cases personally, and that's the way it should be at the Supreme Court level as well. And only in this era of Donald Trump has the court been able to get away with this. So we need to change that. All we want is for the people on the court to act right. Whatever that means, be ethical. Don't take money from people who you shouldn't take it from, and don't support ideas that then come to the court where you obviously have a preconceived idea of how you're going to vote. We don't allow that. And judges at lower levels can't do it. And at the Supreme Court, they shouldn't be able to do it. And if we can put that into place, we can allow people to be on the court for a lifetime. Because let me tell you this. Here's why you don't want to put these term limits on. You think you're going to do something, but the results can be different than what you expect. And I'll show you how. So right now we're saying that we want to make sure that people can only be on the court for a certain period of time because we want to get Clarence and Alito and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and we want to get all those people off the court. But here's the problem. What happens when it's your people who are on the court? And then they're going to take them off the court. So, you know, you're not going to solve the problem by putting these term limits on. And the truth is that when you free people up to do what they really believe, then you can end up with David Souter, John Paul Stevens, who were both Republicans put on the court by Republican presidents, or even Earl Warren, who was put on the court by Dwight Eisenhower, and who Dwight Eisenhower said was the biggest mistake he ever made. But the point is, it's so clear. You don't know who's going to get on the court. Just follow the rules. That's all. And create ethical guardrails so that the Supreme Court justices aren't encouraged to be politicians with robes on. That's what we don't want. And we can stop that simply by installing rules that make these people act ethically. And then we can let people be on the court forever. And that's a good thing. And I'll tell you another one. You know, well, I think I already said John Paul Stevens, but here's the thing about John Paul Stevens. He was on that court until he was 91 years old. And at 91, he said, you know, I feel like I'm losing a step. I'm going to get off the court. And he did. He retired. And then he spent 8 more years writing articles and speaking all over the country till he was 99 years old. We don't need to remove these people from the court. We had Thurgood Marshall on the court until he was 91 and he died. And I'm just saying, you know, there's lots of good that has come from having these people on the court for a long period of time. And, of course, even under these reforms, they're saying a long period of time. They want to make it 20 years. But I don't want to make it 20 years. I'm happy with 40 years if they are forced to be ethical. And we shouldn't even have to force them. But in the case of Clarence Thomas, obviously, he is highly unethical. We know that he's taken this enormous amount of money. We know where it's come from. It's come from these crazy right-wing groups. We know that his wife is part of the group trying to overthrow the United States government's elections. And then he wants to have himself installed on the decision-making panel on cases related to that exact event. And Ginny Thomas is sitting there behind him yelling, go, go, Clarence, do it. No, we don't want that. Clarence Thomas needs to be recused. Sam Alito needs to be recused. I got to tell you something. Justices have been recusing themselves forever because they were honest. They were honest brokers calling balls and strikes, and that was okay. But when they're not, then they have to be recused. That's all. It's awfully simple. We need an inspector general that's examining what the Supreme Court is doing. We have inspector generals for every part of our government. Everyone has to answer to an inspector general who considers what has taken place and then goes to the Congress and says, here's what I found. And then we can decide, are these people following the rules or aren't they? And we need to know the answer. And we can do that. So, you know, we can have a Supreme Court like we did have for hundreds of years that is valued by our country and that values the rules and the laws of our country and the Constitution, which Donald wants to terminate. And again, if you think he doesn't, go back and check it. He said he wants to terminate the Constitution, and then he says, I didn't mean it. That's his favorite thing. He says it, and then he didn't mean it. He wants to have, when he gets elected this time, a unified Reich. But he doesn't mean it. But listen to this. How does that language even come into his head? How does that man even think of something like this? Who would say that the United States government would be a unified Reich? Who would say that? That's Germany. That's Nazism. Where does that come from? Oh, I know. He reads speeches from Adolf Hitler before he goes to sleep at night. And again, we know because his wife said it. Other people say, oh, she's just lying because he dumped her. You know something? She is now saying that she wants to work with Donald. So don't be so sure when you come up with these theories. I guess she thinks it's okay for the United States to be run by Adolf Hitler. But listen, most people in the United States do not go for unified Reich, neo-Nazism, or any of that craziness like poisoning the blood of America. Who would use that language knowing that it was Adolf Hitler's language? And at the beginning, he said, I didn't know. And, you know, here's the thing. He always says he doesn't know. But let's assume for one time, which would be only once, that he was telling the truth. So why did he keep using it? Why did he come back a second and third and fourth time talking about poisoning the blood of America by bringing in immigrants from Africa? And believe me, he ain't talking about Norwegians coming from Africa. The man is anti-black and a whole lot more, because we already know, as we have heard tonight, that he thinks the Christians aren't going to have to vote after this election. Just vote now and you'll never have to vote again. It's what he said. It's what he meant. And what he really meant, what the details are, we don't even want to know. We just want to get rid of it. And we will, because Kamala Harris is inspiring this country. You may not like it, but it's what's happening. Now, again, I'll tell you what I like. I like dinner at Wendy's. I like suits from the St. Louis Suit Company. I like jewelry from Jewels on Hampton. All good things for us. Remember this. This is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.